Part 3, Chapter 5. The day for the demonstration had arrived, and Turl went into a flurry of activity. Up early, he had again put the animal through its paces. He had made it drive the blade machine up and down and up and down and around and around. Turl had pushed it so hard that the machine had finally run out of fuel. Well, he could fix that. He went to see Zit.
"You don't have a requisition,"
said Zit.
"But it's just a fuel cartridge."
I know, but I have to account for them."
Turl grated his fangs. Leverage, leverage, all was leverage, and he didn't have anything at all on Zit. Suddenly, Zit halted what he was doing. There was a flicker of a smile on his mouth bones. It made Turl suspicious.
"Tell you what I will do,"
said Zit.
"After all, you did give up 5 recon drones. I'll just check out that blade machine."
Zit put on a face mask and Turl followed him outside. The animal was sitting on the machine, collared, the lead rope firmly fastened to a roll bar. It was kind of bluish and shivering in the bitter wind of late winter. Turl ignored it. The hood popped up as Zit released the catches.
"I'll just make sure it's all functional,"
he said, his voice muffled by his face mask, and further muffled because his head was in the motor mounts.
"Old machine.
It's a wreck machine,"
said Turl.
"Yes, yes, yes,"
said Zit, busily pulling and pushing connections.
"But you got it, didn't you?"
The animal was watching everything Zit did. It was standing there on the top edge of the instrument panel, looking down.
"You left a wire loose," said the animal.
"Ah, so I did. You talk?"
"I think you heard me."
"Yes, I did hear you. And I also heard no proper polite phrases."
Turl snorted.
"It's just an animal. What do you mean, polite phrases? To a mechanic?"
"Well, there,"
said Zit, ignoring Turl.
"I think that will be fine in there."
He pulled out a power cartridge and shoved it into the casing and screwed on the cap.
"Start it up!"
Turl reached over and pushed a button, and the machine seemed to run all right. Zit turned it off for him.
"I understand you're giving some kind of a demonstration today. I never seen no animal drive. Mind if I come out and watch?"
Turl eyed him. He didn't have any leverage on Zit, and all this cooperation and interest was out of character. But he couldn't put a talon on anything wrong.
"Come ahead,"
he grunted.
"It'll take place here in an hour."
He would kick himself later. But right now, he had a lot on his mind.
Could I get warmed up?"
said Johnny.
"Shut up, animal,"
said Turl, and he rushed off into the compound. Nervously, Turl waited in the outer office of Numpf. One of the clerks had announced him, but there had been no invitation to enter. Finally, after 45 minutes, he scowled another clerk into announcing him again, and this time he was signaled to enter. Numpf had nothing on his desk but a saucepan of Kerbango. He was looking at the mountain view through the canopy wall. Turl scratched his belt to make a small noise. Numpf eventually turned around and gave him an absent look.
"The demonstration you ordered can take place right away. Everything is already your planetship."
"Does this have a project number?"
said Numpf. Turl hastily made up a number.
"Project 39A. Your planetship."
"I thought that had to do with new site recruitment."
Turl had saved himself by adding an A, which no projects had.
"That was probably 39. This is 39A. Substitution of personnel."
"Oh, yes. Transferring more personnel from home."
"No, your planetship. You remember the animal, of course."
Recollection cut into Numpf's fog.
"Ah, yes. The animal."
And he just sat there. Leverage, leverage, thought Turl. He had no leverage on this old fool. He had combed the offices inside and out and could find none. The home office had merely said he was the uncle of Nipe, assistant director of accounting for secondary planets. All this meant, apparently, was that he had his job by influence and was a known incompetent. At least, that was all Turl could make out of it. Obviously, Numph was not going to stir. Turl could see his plans crumbling. He would wind up just vaporizing that damned animal and forgetting it, and all for lack of leverage. Behind his impassive face, Turl was thinking so hard sparks were flashing internally.
"I'm afraid,"
said Numph.
"That,
Hastily, Turl interrupted. "Don't let him say it. Don't let him condemn me to this planet." The inspiration was on his lips in a miraculous bypass of his thinking.
"Have you heard from your nephew lately?"
he said. He meant it socially. He was about to add a lie that he had known Nipe in school. But the effect was out of proportion. Numph jerked forward and looked at him closely. It was not much of a jerk, but it was enough. There was something there. Turl said nothing. Numph kept looking at him, seeming to wait. Was Numph afraid? He had started to say so, but that was a figure of speech.
"There's no reason to be afraid of the animal,"
said Turl, smoothly, easily, deliberately misinterpreting things.
"It doesn't bite or scratch."
Numph just kept on sitting there. But what was that in his eyes?
"You ordered the demonstration, and it's already your planetship."
"Ah, yes. The demonstration."
"If you'll just get a mask and come outside."
"Ah, yes. Of course."
The intergalactic head of the planet drank off the Kerbango in steady gulps, got up, and took his face mask off the wall. He went into the hall and signaled some of his staff to put on their breathe masks and follow. And then, with many slit-eyed, darting glances at Turl, he walked with him to the outside air. A mystified Turl was jubilant, nevertheless. The old fellow positively reeked with fear. The plan was going to come off.